Hello and welcome to our program. We're in the book of Daniel that was written 2,600 years ago, and it talks about today. Stay tuned. The book of Daniel basically has two sections. One is chapter 1 through 6, where the focus is on man, and then chapter 7 through 12, where the focus is on the message. Now, the man, Daniel, his name means God is my judge. He's mentioned 83 times in the Bible, and 65 of those times is in the book of Daniel. When we look at the message of Daniel, we're looking at prophecy. And we have two pictures of the nations, one as man pictures them, and that is given to us in the first part of the book of Daniel, where we have this beautiful golden image. And then we see the nations as God pictures them, and God's picture is anything but beautiful. In the last part of the book of Daniel, we see the nations of the world pictured as wicked beasts. Concerning Daniel, we see that he was tested. That is a procedure that establishes the reality of something. He was trusting in God, which really revealed what he really believed. We see his testimony. That's what people say about us. We see what he teaches, explaining how things are to be done. And we see a great triumph, a great victory that Daniel had all the way through this book of Daniel. We see in the story as it begins, Daniel is only 15 years old, but he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. A purpose is a person's sense of resolve or determination. Not only that, Daniel was polite. That is showing behavior that is respectful and considerate of other people. And he did that when he just asked his captors if he could try a program of eating that was contrary to theirs. Not only that, we see that Daniel was persistent. To be persistent is to continue firmly in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. And that's exactly what Daniel did from the age of 15 right on through until he died somewhere around 90 years of age. And then we see he was prepared. He had purpose in his heart. And so as a result of that, in the earlier days of his young life, now when the battles came, he's prepared. To be prepared is the action or process of being made ready for something, and Daniel was ready for what was coming. Well, one word would sum up Daniel, and that is faith. Listen to this message and song, "My Faith Looks Up to Thee, the Lamb of Calvary."
Take all my fears away.
Well, we're in Daniel chapter 1, and in that chapter we see two kings. One king is Jehoiakim, and the other king is Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Jehoiakim was king of Judah. We mentioned in our previous broadcast that his name occurs 37 times in the Bible. 23 of those are found in the book of Daniel. And in 2 Kings chapter 24, verse number 19, we know all about this king. It says he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Then we have Nebuchadnezzar. He's king of a Gentile nation, and he's king of Babylon. His name is mentioned 60 times in the Bible, and 32, over half of them, are found in the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 5 and verse 18, we read a bit about him. It says, O thou king, thou most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. For the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. In 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 7, we read about Nebuchadnezzar. It says, he slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was a wicked, wicked man. He slew Zedekiah, he slew his children, that is, before his eyes, and then so the last thing he would see would be his children dying. We see here that he put his eyes out. Well, in Ezra chapter 5 and verse number 7, concerning God's people, it says, after that our fathers had provoked the God of heaven unto wrath, he gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And so what's happening here? Well, Jeremiah preached about it and preached about it and preached about it, and they wouldn't listen to him. They threw him in a slime pit. They would put him to death as if they could as soon as he started preaching. They hated him. And so God said, all right, you're going to find out. And so he gives them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, this wicked king, to face the judgment of God. If we're not going to listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that they that hated us will rule over us, and we will be brought into subjection under their hand. Well, we have in this story four teenagers, it says in Daniel 1 and 17, and as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and in dreams. Four children, they're just young people, they're in their early teens. Most think Daniel was about 15, maybe 16 years of age. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, these are referred to as these four children. Now, in the midst of it all, God has always had a remnant. Right from the beginning, you can start all the way back with Noah and come right on through to today. God always has a remnant. That is a handful of people who will say, as Daniel said, I am going to purpose in my heart that I will not defile myself with the ways of the world. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 11, we see Daniel's appeal to his captors. An appeal is an urgent, earnest request. Daniel had purposed in his heart he would not defile himself. He's not going to eat the king's meat or drink the king's wine. How's he going to handle it? Well, it says in verse number 11, then said Daniel to the one who is in charge here, he said in verse 12, prove thy servant, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Pulse, basically, we're looking at vegetables. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of thy children that eat the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servant. So he gives them this proposition, and he asks them carefully, I beseech thee, he said. So we see in verse number 14, so he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days, and at the end of 10 days their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in the flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Then Meltzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine and that they should drink, and gave them pulse. And so God says in verse 17, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Why did God give them all this? Because they purposed in their heart that they're going to do things God's way. If we would trust God, He would do the same thing for us. God waits for our action, and then He reacts accordingly. There's all kinds of verses about that. The Bible says, for instance, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Our action, seek ye first the kingdom of God, number one, and His righteousness, number two. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that's our action, His reaction, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we see in verse number 18 now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, the princes and the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Verse number 19 says that they found that Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that in all matters, it said, verse 20, in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers that were in his realm. Well, we see that when we do things God's way, God will take care of His people. The Bible says very plainly that these things happen unto them, but they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. What we need to learn, if we'll stand for God, He is able to deliver us.
'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to Him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme in the earth or main. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal strain. 'Tis the grandest theme, tell the world again. Our God is able to deliver thee. Is the grandest theme, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, He will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able.